Testing. I don't want them to have it. It is February 11th, 2015. Session title is Automated Register Onboarding Systems, AROS. We are in Morrison. Local time is 3:12 p.m., 7:12 UTC. Testing,
1:23. Mic here if you need another one.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our session all about AROS. We'll be beginning shortly, in a few minutes. Hello again. My name is Mert Saka, and I work for Registry Services team in ICANN. With me, I have Steve Ellison, the product manager for Eros. We are both excited to be here presenting you all about Eros, the registrar, automated registrar onboarding system, which will be launched soon. Next slide, please. We'll be looking at Eros from both registry operator and registrar point of views. So some of you may have already seen a demo earlier. Eros has, keeping the basic intact, Eros has changed slightly since then. So you might see a little bit changes. For those who are recently joined the industry or missed earlier presentations, they'll find it interesting, I think, and we'll go quickly and see the interactions between registries and registrars, how they interacted in the past, how they're doing it today, and how they will be doing it in the future. Okay, we can go with the slides, maybe a few more. So another one, please. Thank you. One more. So back in recent history, there were only a few TLDs, as we know, and a lot more registrars. They were all around the world, but not really all around the world, right? They were basically centered in some regions. This simple environment actually provided the industry to grow more rapidly. And every registrar, next slide, please, were contacting with the registries and registry operators to have a contract with them to be able to be get accredited to provide their TLDs to second-level domain holders, applicants. At the same time, they were also onboarding ICANN through the radar interface. Next slide, please. And today, number of registrars haven't changed much, but with the introduction of new registries, new GTLDs, we have a lot of new TLDs attend. And they're getting closer to 1,000, half of which is still waiting to be delegated. All these TLDs and registrars need to first get in touch with each other and complete requirements for, or as we call them, tasks on the registrar side, and sign contracts, and then get accredited for the TLD, and finally start registering domains. Next slide, please. And we know that this workflow is not easy. Right, we all read through it. Emails, phone calls, documents, signatures. Well, it's not easy for sure. And that is why a common tool was needed, actually, to make it easier for registrars to contact with registries to get a TLD accreditation and get contracts much faster. A platform. Next slide, please. A platform where registrars will be able to pick up the TLDs which are available in the marketplace, see them, get communications running, and then do the contracts. Next slide, please. Actually, between the staff, we call this matchmaking. I think it's a proper word to use between registries and registrars because it provides visibility for TLDs to the registrars. It's much easier to see which TLDs are available for contracting now. It will be, sorry. And easy to see contract portfolio, convenience, and fast processing are the main things we considered while designing Eros. So next slide, please. We have a bunch of benefits for registries and registrars. It makes your TLD as a registry, it makes your TLD visible to registrars as available as soon as you get your contract registry agreement with ICANN. It provides a two-way communication between you and the registrar, which is dedicated to sole purpose of contracting about this TLD, And it provides you a contract which you can use after again and again. And it's a convenient tool because we integrated things like e-signatures in it so that you can use it where in countries where it's available. And next slide, please. And as a registrar, you will have access to a list of TLDs which are ready to contract with you easily. And you'll be able to enjoy fast processing of e-signatures there. No more which version of that contract we had, was it signed or not, and so on. And you'll have the contract portfolio as go through. So you can get back afterwards, even if you lost the email or so. So although the benefits on the registrar side look less, we had this early adapters application phase, and it was only open to the registry operators, but we saw that many registrars also asked for it. So benefits for the registrars may not be just limited with these three, as well as the benefits for registry operators as a lot more probably. But I think that's going to be available to us when we have the tool launched, which is not very far away. With this, I would like to hand it over to Steve Ellison so that he can demonstrate the Eros to you from both registry operator side and the registrar side. Steve?
Thanks, Mert. So before we hop into the demonstration, I really want to call out one of these benefits to the registrars so that, you know, both sides can really appreciate one of the biggest pieces of value that we're bringing to the table here is that when we talk about fast processing, what we're really talking about is the ability for registrars to quickly spin up the documentation that's required for them to go through the contracting process. So when Merritt showed that slide earlier that was like a jumbled mess of all the registrars going every which way to finish their contracting process, like that will be a reality for many registrars is that without a system like Eros that's centralized, people literally will have to repeat the same exact processes or similar processes, redoing the same exact data over and over and over. And so that's what a centralized kind of system like Eros is going to provide them is that the core of it is in this documentation portion, and that's what we're going to end up showing you is the ability for people to really run through that process efficiently, reuse the data that they already have in the system so that they don't have to constantly rebuild the will. Okay. So for the demonstration that I'm going to walk through, I'm going to try to distill it down to what I think the core functions are, both from a registry side and then from a registrar side. And I think what we'll end up doing is just show the application process. But underneath the hood of that, there's a lot of flexibility that we've built into the product so that registries can customize their process, their contracting process, to meet their needs. And we've done so in a way that the fields and the types of information that we'd be requesting from a registrar can be reused. So the registry still has complete flexibility to make their contracting process, their legal documents, exactly the way they need them without losing that flexibility. So I'm going to skip the customization side of it, and then afterwards, if there's like specific scenarios people want to run through, totally welcome to do that. So to begin, I'll log in as a user called Eros1Demo, and it's gonna bring them to a work item list page. So right now, I've logged in as Merritt. Merritt runs currently .site registry. And if I click up here on change real quick, what it shows here is a list of all of the accounts that Merritt has access to. So Merit actually runs multiple different companies, much like other individuals in this room may. So what we have here is that Merit runs .hear, .sight, .smell, and .taste. These are all different registry accounts, which may have 1 to 1,000 TLDs underneath each of them. And so currently he's working in the context of .sight, but he can easily change that context to .taste, for example. So when Merit logs in as .taste now, if he clicks on the TLDs tab, this will show him all the TLDs that fall under .taste. And so for this demonstration, I've built 3 TLDs that happen to have gone through the contracting process with ICANN and automatically get pulled into Eros. And there's 3 TLDs, bitter, sour, and sweet. So what Merit is able to do is he can configure each of these TLDs to be identical, or he can have custom contracting processes so that they have different legal documents, different tasks that they want the registrars to go through. It doesn't matter. And before like I hop into showing you the registrar actually applying to it, I'll just give you a quick highlight of what it looks like to actually configure a TLD. So if you click manage on one of the TLDs, it takes you to this like management page. It's a little dashboard page. It tells you the status of your current TLD. This one's already in a stage where we can begin accepting applications from registrars. But you could always pull it back, put it into a reconfiguration state, and then redesign the application process.
Oh, excuse me, Steve. And put your screen on here.
My apologies. Success? Great. Okay. So just to kind of regroup where we're at, let me try to make this full screen now. So we're looking at the registry's perspective of their TLD's management page. So the application process that a registrar would go through is broken down into a couple different sections. We have this documentation section, a technical certification section, which registries often use to like accredit a registrar going through like the technical OT&E testing that they'd have to go through and getting a certification from them. There's account funding, and then this like placeholder task called go live. So the core of what Eros is providing is in this documentation section. These are all of the steps that the registry is asking a registrar to go through so that they can collect the appropriate information they need from them. So we have something called a registrar data form. It's got a lot of the like core registrar information, or IP addresses, and, points of contact, et cetera. We have fax authorization forms. So this is just a it builds a document that authorizes the registry to connect with the registrar through a secure fax line. Registries typically use that for their OT&E testing. We have confidentiality agreements. The registry-registrar agreement, which is probably the most important form to you guys, it allows them to completely customize what their registry-registrar agreement will be, all of the pieces of information they would like to request, plus the legalese. And we have 2 steps here called formation documents and insurance documents, which are really just placeholder steps to allow the registrar to upload whatever documents you're requesting from them. And then a financial information form, which is really helping collect all the financial information that you need from the registrar so that you can do account funding. And so just to quickly show you inside what it may look like, if this, and in fact, I'll go back. I'll put this back into a configuration state so you can see what it would look like. So in a configuration state, you can actually edit what these forms look like. And so, for example, the registrar data form, it gives you a little WYSIWYG editor, which is just like a little rich text editor that lets you define what the document would look like in a PDF form, plus call out where you want to collect information. And so this kind of like markup text is a way for us to tell Eros, please present the registrar with a field and let them populate that field. And if there happens to already be data in the system, like the registrar address, which we already have within our systems, it just auto-populates this. So it allows them to kind of speed through this process for stuff that's reusable. On the far right, we happen to also have a little interface to pull in the fields that are available per form. So I don't want to go too far into the weeds, but just to give you an idea of like what it means to customize your forms, your application process, this is what we're talking about. So okay, so from the registry side, that's their TLDs. They present them, they put them into an accepting application state, and then they're ready to go. So if I were to log out of the system real quick, I'll just show you, before we hop into the actual enrollment process, I'll just show you what it looks like from the registrar side, and then we'll pause and we can ask questions if you want, or I can continue forward. So I'll log out of Merit's profile, and I'll log into a different one. Is it showing it?
It'll show you.
Okay. So I logged in now. I'm logged in as myself, Steve Allison. I'm managing a company called Tactile Partners. It's a registrar. And again, the same kind of experience exists for the registrar is if they click change up here on the top, it gives them a list of all the accounts that this individual user has access to. So they don't need 40 accounts if they happen to be working or representing 40 companies. They can have one account across all of them, and they can select which account they'd actually like to work on behalf of. And so we call that, you know, selecting a context. So, for example, I can work across Audible Associates is my company, so I can select that. And when I select that, I'm actually, you can see that the navigation I have up here on the top is a lot more simplistic for a registrar. I have basically one really important tab here called enrollment applications. And this page will show me anything that I'm currently going through the process of enrolling to, or I can start a new one. So if I click start, I'll get a list here of all the TLDs. So if there's 800 of them, or if there's 1,000 of them, or 10,000 of them, I'd have a list of all 10,000 TLDs that are in a state of accepting applications. So if a registry hasn't completely configured their TLD yet, it won't show here. But as soon as they're ready, it'll show here, and you can search for it. You can search across either one of these two fields, and it's pretty robust. So, like, if I were saying, I don't know, like, there's a company called DotSite or something like that, you type in the word site, and it's going to pull up anything that says either a TLD named site or a registry that has the word site in it. Okay, so here's a TLD called DotSite, and it's as simple as clicking start application, and it's going to pull in all of those forms that we just customized and create your own enrollment application. So that enrollment application has, it will look very, very similar to what that previous dashboard page looks like. It pulled in all those forms, and it's asking me to complete them. So the documentation section, the certifications, the account funding, and then finally the go live. And so I think before, like, I start hopping into, like, how to actually complete tasks, it might be a good stopping point just to make sure everybody's on the same page or if there's questions or scenarios that are interesting that we can run through those.
Any questions?
Many of us have already started onboarding, of course, and we have kind of in between, and most of the registrars have signed the contracts for a number of registries. Very often we have also, of course, a certain organization handling multiple registries, but it's not like they own them, but they're doing that for customers. And so let's say, are we doing something new because we're starting from scratch or not? This kind of a mixed situation. It's something totally new for that customer of a given group of people. But in the end, the same people have already onboarded the same registrars with other registries and so on, and they manage the passwords with ICANN for the respective customers.
Sorry.
And now, if we have all these contracts already out there and models that have been created, if you wanted to do this again in this way, it would actually be in many ways starting from scratch, unless we could just kind of use a PDF that was available. Is that possible?
As you've seen, actually, we didn't show much of the preparation part for a TLD, though. It might be easy as a few tasks, and PDF creation might be part of it. So it might be as easy as a few tasks, or you might have them go through all the tasks you want to and approve each task all the time. It's up to you to make it more complicated as your needs or just simple to go through and start working fast.
Yeah, I will say, if you take a specific example, we have a TLD that's already been onboarding before. You know, there's new registrars coming. Is it worth going to this, or is it better just to continue with the old stuff?
So, I mean, I can't answer if it's better for you to continue with the old approach. I would say, from a registrar perspective, it's much easier for them to manage all of their data and keep all of their data up to date from one location than having to do it from 20 locations. So I think as far as capacity on their side goes, it increases probably tenfold. From a registry side, if there's a critical mass of customers available to you and you can manage them all from one location, I think the tools that we've given you to like customize the TLD enrollment process and the ability to do it across all of your TLDs, and I think that it actually provides a pretty good set of tools for you guys to manage yourselves as well. So
okay, but are there any tools that you offer that could be added maybe easily to it that also for the situation after onboarding? Let's say, you know, there's announcement of downtime, there is special promotions. There's all kinds of things that have to be, communicated to registrars. Is that something that would also be in this platform?
So it's definitely a possibility. It's something that I think we'd be open to exploring. So one thing that we do have kind of in our long-term roadmap is an ability to have an API so that registries can pull a lot of the information that they need in the system out of it, whether it's points of contact, contact details. And so then, the long-term vision would be that you can actually pull that information out and use it as in part of your business processes as you need. I think that we'd probably be a little hesitant to add functionality into Eros that like made it more than a contracting vehicle. But it shouldn't be, a siloed system where you can't get the information you need out of it in a way that you can reuse it so that it fits into your business process.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I talked about downtime, this has been something we've already experienced in the past. Each registry has a different way of announcing, these things to registrars, and then you want to try to combine it. And they even have sometimes different ways of stating dates, in different formats. You don't know how this was to be interpreted in the text email message that they sent. Does it start with the month or does it start with the day? So that would probably be easier if you could use this on an ongoing basis than just for onboarding once.
Maybe we should show the how we configure the TLD for you, because you can create your tasks. So according to your needs, you can create as many tasks as you like. And when the task is completed by a registrar, you can approve or disapprove them. So this is a communication.
Just to communicate. Yeah, so maybe just to kind of like close the loop, and I there is value in being able to communicate something like that. I think it's more of an operational communication out to the registrars. So I think that's probably something that should go through the GDD working group and potentially using a system like the GDD portal to be communicating those types of details out. But I think it probably falls outside of the scope of what Eros should be doing. Or maybe it's like a combined effort where, you know, you're able to pull out that those details of who you have contracts with from Eros and then have it be able to help you broadcast some of those communications. But it's probably something that we'd have to explore in detail, you know, with the rest of the community to figure out how best to solve that.
Okay, just two more questions. Migrating existing contracts into that, is that feasible? They've already been signed. It's just we would like to keep track of it in a central place.
Yeah, so it's something that we can explore together. There's definitely ways that can be accomplished where, you know, behind the scenes we load in the appropriate data. I think we probably have to, like, really look on a, you know, on a one-for-one basis and look at what types of data you're trying to pull in and then map it up properly. But it's definitely an effort that we could go through.
Well, it's not much. I mean, which contract has the contract's been signed and it has a date? It's not. It's maybe it expires at some time, has to be renewed, but there's not much that has to be imported. The other question is, some registries would like to have relationships with resellers of registrars. That's an old, you know, mildly neglected problem, you know, in the ICANN world, because ICANN behaves as if, you know, registrars are the only parties that matter. And very often customers don't have the ability to talk to a registrar. They talk to resellers in the middle. Is it possible at all to envisage that such relationships might be tracked there as well, or at least, you know, to say that a certain reseller is goes through a certain registrar and has been identified?
First of all, I would like to mention that I think it's good to mention that only the registrars with RRA, which is 2013, will be able to be there. So that's just before we begin answering.
So I think what you're asking is, you know, what mechanisms can we provide for registries and registrars to form a relationship with one another? So
No, I don't think that's my question. They're resellers, very often CCTLD registrars. They're not ICANN accredited. But they already are certainly going to offer a certain domain name, a certain TLD. They have to go through an ICANN accredited registrar who doesn't have much interest in that specific TLD. So the real relationship is between the registry and the reseller. The registry and the reseller have a relationship in actual fact, you know, practically, but legally it goes by some registrar. And so is there any way that, you know, resellers might be somehow mapped into the system?
As I said, there's only registrars with registry RRA agreement 2013 will be allowed in the system and no one else. This is to actually protect the environment and have it used by only the contracted parties by ICANN, so that you, as a registry, will know that the party in front of you is an accredited registrar and no one else.
Well, that you don't understand the question.
It's not going to be in there. That's what I mean.
Certainly there will be a 2013 registrar in there. All the domains will be under the responsibility of such a registrar. That is not the question. The question is that we work with the fiction of the reseller not existing. Of course the reseller is there. Do we want to keep ignoring the reseller? And basically deprive the customer from being informed where actually the real relationships go. So in many cases, we have the problem that registrars are not necessarily interested, not many registrars are interested in a given TLD where there's many resellers interested in it. And they're happy to go through a registrar, but there's a question of whether the relationship can be mapped, even if it leaves just a name somewhere. And who is, I heard that we start with this 2013 RA to allow at least putting the name of the reseller. So it is one of the things we might look at in this as well.
If I may, Krista Vapik.
Excuse me, can you please state your names for remote participants?
Yes.
It was Werner Staub. I'll speak. It was Werner that was speaking. Now it's Krista Pfaffik. So, Werner, I think you're asking about the contractual relationship between the registrar and the reseller. So the Eros system is only meant to facilitate the contracting process between 2013 RAA, but registrars and new GTLD registry operators. And, you know, we all know there's an extension of the relation, you know, there's a, registrars have other relationships, which are the reseller relationships, one type that you're referring to. You would, I don't know how you run your business, but you would still continue to do whatever you do with those relationships outside of the Aero system. It's only meant to link up the 2013 RAA registrars with the new GTLD registry operators that want to utilize the system. Does that help clarify?
No, it certainly does clarify. The point is that we have participants in the market that are important, and these participants are not actually identified in any way. So it's if you're doing this, and who is it, might be probably a thing to look at in the future.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that. That exists regardless of Eros, though, right? That's a sort of a thing we already have that exists in the ecosystem. But appreciate the comments and this talk show format that we have going.
By the way, we'll have a two-hour session tomorrow at the GDD booth so that we can discuss further for any features you think might be there or any additional comments you might have that you couldn't bring up here and think it would be better to discuss later. We'll be there with Steve, and we can always discuss that during then, too. Any other questions, please? I think I should go just mention the comment from Adobe Chat to mention the names. No questions? Okay. Oh. One in the back to Yasmin, please.
Yasmin Omer for the transcript. Apologies if this has been already covered, but can AROS be used to provide notices to registrars?
The last part again, please.
Can it be used to provide notices to registrars? So, say, for example, there's a change in policy, and as per our registrar agreement, we're required to provide notice of, let's say it's 90 days, to registrars. Can we use it to provide that notice?
So, there are mechanisms within Eros so that communications can be formed between a registry and a registrar, but the focus is, at least for the current state of Eros, is that it is to facilitate the contracting process, so it doesn't have that capability built into it. So if at a later date that becomes a priority that the community wants built into it, we'll prioritize those things and see if, as long as it makes sense from like a functional standpoint, then I don't see why it's something that can't be added.
One addition to that, we are currently it's being done via email, so we are trying to build a system. We built a system which is currently handling the requirements of today, because we already seen was how the relations are being managed through emails and phones. So this one is to replace those emails and phones, but for notices, its current capability is not that focused on to doing this. But may in future, so we'll be collecting those ideas for future releases. Okay. Any other questions?
Go ahead. Again, Yasmin Omer for the transcript. Is there any way for a nominated party to have read-only access to AROS, say a back-end registry operator?
We had one more.
I feel like a traveler or something going from microphone to microphone. Krista Pfaffik, again, for the folks on the phone. So I think these are all, where is Yasmin? Ah, there she is. So these are great. I think these are great suggestions and great pieces of feedback. At this point, you guys all know this, so I'm not going to mince words. We've been trying to launch Eros for quite some time. And I think the goal at this point is to get it out there and get the feedback and get it working right and make sure it's meeting the purposes that it was originally designed, that you guys, you know, asked for, which is to facilitate the contracting process. I guess I'm being very pragmatic or practical about this. I know every time you launch a new system, there's challenges, things don't work quite the way you wanted them to. So I'm sort of anticipating that going through that process is going to take some time, like it has with the GDD portal, for example, and that these are things that I think we should see how the system works and bring them in. I love that there's some thinking already about different ways to utilize the system, but I would encourage you to please take advantage of Mert and Steve's offer tomorrow.
Yep.
They'll be at the GDD booth for 2 hours where they can help you really like get in the system with them and navigate it and look at in the test environment, I believe, look at how it operates. And I think it'll also help inform some of the thinking about future edits. But I guess I just want to set expectations that I think that the adding completely different types of functionality is probably a ways off, but that we should definitely consider that.
Hi, this is Christine Ouellette. With so many folks in the room, I just wanted to get some feedback. Is this a tool you think you might be willing to use for your businesses? Is, even though it might have some, may not have all the bells and whistles and data upload and all the capabilities, is this something that you could foresee using in your businesses in the next 6 to 12 months? Any feedback generally? Oh, I got a thumbs up.
We heard one yes. So, Valerie, I think we have Werner and then Yasmin. I can see better from here.
The question I'm asking is actually in the context of the as an answer to your question. I think the objective should be for us to use such a system for obvious reasons of productivity. And the question is how to handle the legacy that we already have built up, which is why, you know, can we put them in and so on, and also what the future uses. If it's just a one time for onboarding and then there's nothing, why bother? But there is actually an ongoing need, such as notices, you know, and just pieces of information, maybe sometimes even marketing, that would be useful. Then you've got another thing is we've actually realized that interacting between corporations is sometimes extremely complex. We see that interacting with ICANN is complex. And one of those is specifically the question of usernames. Something as stupid as that. And we saw that the Salesforce system has the ability to have more than one username for the same company. It is actually very good. And sometimes it's really necessary to say, okay, we've addressed something to a certain organization. It has been picked up by one of the empowered people, and it was handled. And that the same password doesn't have to be shared. Whereas very often now we have the situation that we have passwords, you know, to ICANN and other systems. Registrars have passwords with us, and about 5 or 10 people share the same password. You know, we know that this is not good, but we kind of make do with this. And if you have this kind of platform, this is probably one way of kind of moving forward and doing properly. Maybe not in the first, maybe not in the first release, but if you can see that this is something that that moves forward, is a, we look at this as a long-term investment, I think definitely that's the kind of stuff we would like to use.
Okay, absolutely. So I agree with Werner, definitely. The only other thing that I would add is it depends on whether registrars actually want to use it. If there's... I'm saying that as a registry. if registrars don't want to use it, then we're not going to maintain two different systems.
Just one comment before we go. We're going to, actually, the system, I was expecting to have a question like, how can we enroll or what? And actually,
onboarding system?
No, it'll be easier for you because when you sign the registry agreement and execute it on ICANN site, you'll have access. You'll receive your access to the EROS system. So you'll not have to go through onboarding. While you're going on through onboarding and others, you'll be able to contact with the registrars. So you'll have access, and no enrollment is necessary as long as you're on the RA with us. And similarly, registrars will access as they have the RA agreement in place. So if you use it or not, it'll be there, free of charge to access.
Frédéric Guillemot, registrar, Safe Brands. As a registrar, I would be very happy to use that. I would have been happier if I could have used that 1 year ago. That's the main thing. But yes, I would be happy to use any tool that simplifies our lives. It's late. But thank you.
Actually, is this a way by which we could announce something going to the registrars and not specifically, interested right now? Or possibly run in dual mode? Some of them have, they're signing the contract with our, what do we have? We have one of these, DocuSign system. And, some of them, if they're already in there, okay, fine, you go and do it via Eros because you're in Eros, and we use the DocuSign system for the one who's not yet in Eros. So is that possible?
First of all, currently Eros is not launched, right? It's currently waiting to be launched real soon. First, we have to launch it, and then have both. First of all, we have this early adapters program. You, as registries, has probably received emails about this, joining this program and so on. So with this program, we'll allow some of the registries to go in and prepare their TLDs. If you want to be in that program, you're always welcome to email us, and me, actually. I announced it myself. And be on that program so that you can prepare your TLD before it goes out to registrars. So if you prepared your TLD and registrars have access, and we'll be announcing that date, and when registrars have access, you can always announce them to go into Eros and apply to contract with you through Eros, which will be easier for sure.
That opens a number of questions.
Yeah, if I can just maybe add to what Mert said or say it a little bit differently. So you've got two types of users of Eros, new GTLD registry operator and 2013 RAA registrar, accredited registrar. So Mert talked a little bit about the early adopters program, which is a registries program, and those people will have access once the early adopters are provisioned. But once the full launch of Eros occurs, everybody that falls into those two types of registry and registrar, those two types of Eros users, will be provisioned, will get credentials. And so that's where you'll get to your question, Werner, sort of the announcement that, hey, yeah, Eros has been launched. Here's your access to the system. Go play, be free, have fun, and make Yasmin happy so she can have everybody on one platform.
Early adopters program, of course, if it's for a new TLD, because I assume it's for the one that has not been started yet. So it is a question of selecting the ones that happen to be in that window.
Oh, you're saying because you have an existing...
The TLD started, maybe we have about 20. Uh-huh. We've already, they're in different stages of the pipeline. Some have been happening a long time
So you're
ago.
It's like your operational challenge. This is Krista again. You've got TLDs that have launched, and in theory you've already contracted with 50 registrars for that TLD, and you want to contract with another 50. That would be, I think Mert or Steve answered earlier, you sort of make your own decision about if you want to cut them over for the next 50, registrars you sign up to Eros or keep them. And I think the other thing that you're saying here is you might want to think about, so I guess it's up to you is the answer. So if you are the registry for 20 TLDs and some of them have been launched for some time and others are just about to launch or haven't launched, you may only want to use Eros for the newer ones. And you could do that. You could choose. Well, I'll let you answer that part, but that's the question.
That's okay. Mertzeka for the recording. The thing here is actually when you want to contract with them, because once you're delegated, yes, the system is live. Before that, you're not delegated, but you have the registry agreement with ICANN. You can start your negotiations and assign tasks to registrars so that they complete. In the meantime, you get onboarded or your TLD through PDT stage, whatever. So this is the way you choose it. You can start using it after delegation. Some of your TLDs may be configured that way, or you can kickstart using it after your registry agreement is executed with ICANN. It's up to you and your business decisions. And for multiple TLDs, as Krista mentioned, you can use it whatever way you like for each of them. It's all separately managed.
Sorry, I'll just add one final point. About the usability from a registry point of view. For a registry that has already launched, I think ultimately it will depend on how easy it is to transition already onboarded registrars onto the system. So if it's going to take quite a while and the process is going to be somewhat cumbersome, then we'll be less inclined to use the system. But otherwise, yes, absolutely.
So, point taken. It would be interesting to look specifically at some of the processes you guys are using currently, what type of artifacts you're collecting, and then we could compare them to what's actually needed for Eros to function, and figure out what are the steps we need to perform. That I have a feeling that there are some workarounds that we could do to quickly load that data in so that the work you've already done previously exists, and then it's at least the starting point. But without seeing it, I think it's hard to know.
Before forgetting to actually ask formally the question, do we have multiple usernames for the same TLD?
First of all, the primary contacts will be able to reach Eros through the environment, and then they will be able to put on users for themselves. So you'll be assigning your own users. So if you like, you can have it. One user per TLD is the main thing about primary contacts using it. And the users you create will be users for your contacting and so on. So they'll know about who to contact in case via phone, email, so that the old ways can still go on. So the registrar knows who to contact for each topic, like legal contact or other contacts, but they'll not have access to Eros.
So it's to be sure that we continue to have, in this specific case, although it is a new product, the situation where we as an agent and the registry operator for whom we work We share, and you know, different personnel inside of these organizations in different cities and so on. And we're going to exchange the same passwords, you know, between each other. You know, be sure that, you know, we know who made the change. When we make a change, we don't know who actually said it, because it says it's Mr. Such and Such or Mrs. Such and Such, but actually I did it on her behalf because he wasn't there. So is there a plan to move forward on multiple users?
So we're going to pretend like we didn't hear that you're sharing credentials amongst people. That being said, so the systems that we have in place, not just Eros, but the GDD portal and the application portal, which I know you, for one, Werner, are familiar with both, currently they each have one user login per system, basically. We do have a roadmap on our IT roadmap. There's a need to have multiple users in all of those places, as well as some other things that we do. So it's absolutely on our IT technology roadmap, which is being finalized, and we expect to have better visibility on those timelines and on the roadmap within the next 60 days. But yes, we know you guys need that, and we'll get it in there. We just have to solidify the roadmap, and then we can give you a timeline for that.
Thank you. Frédéric Guillemot, you're talking about timeline. Do you have a date? Or do you have a time for the launch? What day? What month? For Eros, yeah.
A launch date for Eros?
Yes.
It's a secret. So we're just finishing up some development work. We don't have a specific launch date quite yet. We're very close, which I know is not good enough for this meeting, but it's very close. I anticipate by hopefully the end of this month we would know what the launch date looks like. Late February or early March would be when we would have the launch date, and would be communicating that out via an announcement or some form.
Sorry. So end of February, you will be able to set a date?
Yeah, we're hoping to have a date for the date by the end of February. A date for the launch date.
Okay.
Thanks, Frederick.
Thank you.
We still have 6 minutes. So you can sit here and ask nothing, but we would like to have your questions and comments.
Yeah, since we're kind of towards the end of this session, just to reiterate, Merit and I will be hosting a session at the GDD booth tomorrow. If you want to go through any specific scenarios or like really dig into how this functions and where there may or may not be limitations, where there's opportunities for us to capture future requirements, please, I encourage you to, you know, come and join us. We'll spend as much time as you need to make sure that you know you're comfortable with where it's at and what it does and whether it works or not for you.
Merzeka, for the record, it'll be 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow. For 2 will be better because we'll have everyone together so that you can also benefit from the questions that others ask and what we display there. Two to four, yeah. So, any other questions? Okay, I don't want to keep you here. So we can end the session if you like. Thank you for being here and asking all these questions. That was great to have you, and we'll be waiting for you at the GDD booth tomorrow, 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you.
Yeah, before everybody leaves, before you leave, we just made a mistake in the time for tomorrow. Eros will be available, Steve and Mert will be available between 10:30 and 12:30 at the GDD booth tomorrow. So apologies for the miscommunication. Thanks.
Thank you.